Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Managee Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha small businesses. All right, Matt, we are live from the Thrive podcast studio at the Thrive co-working community in downtown Lindsay. And today we're going to be talking about frameworks for success.
As per usual, no idea about frameworks or what we're talking about. So fire away. I will say something that I don't know if I use frameworks. Maybe I do.
Yeah,
you're about to tell me that I do. I've always been kind of not motivational speaker or business coach and all those people that have these frameworks and sell them. And you're the one that got me onto someone specifically that I now am. I'm not heavily invested, but mentally heavily invested in at this point.
Yeah. And I think, you sort of touched on it there, but I've been anti sort of prescribed systems that are other people's and things that are too detailed. And that's why I love the idea of frameworks more than very specific prescriptive systems or step-by-steps. But the heart of the framework is really important. And I think if you're going to be successful in anything, especially in business, you need to develop or adopt or buy or figure out sort of a set of frameworks that you're going to use. Because if you try to just fly blind and like invent everything as you go, like it's just not going to work.
Yeah. So what are frameworks then? Like, so what's the difference?
Yeah. So a framework for success would be we talk about the story brand framework a lot on this podcast. And, you know, that's one where like I discovered it and became a guide to use it because I believe that it works for any business. And that's using a framework of, you know, for your marketing. I use it for how you design your business. You can use it in a way for how you hire people. So there's lots of levels of using it, but the base framework of that one is using the elements of story to invite your customer into a story where they are the hero. So you can use that framework sort of as the core for things like your communications or, you know, your social media. So you're not sitting down staring at, you know, Instagram being like, oh, I need a post. What do I do today? And you just try to invent something off the top of your head. You're using a proven framework that gives you some guidance of how to use that. But it's not a prescriptive thing where they're like, just do this exact thing, right? And some people sell pure templates or like sort of Mad Lib fill in the blanks, or they might just sell you stuff that you post, which some people do that isn't even related to their business really, but it sort of feels like it works for them. So that's why I wanted to discuss overall frameworks, because every single business is a little bit different, but yet they're not so different that no one's ever like had a, you know, they're not so unique that there's no solutions to pretty much any problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the fact that frameworks have some flexibility. You can be agile. You can make some changes. You can kind of leave some steps out sometimes. And it's not, like you said, prescribed. It doesn't need to be exactly that way. You're probably better off following every step.
Yeah, and I think that's of the framework. Again, as I get older and more mature and learn more, the more you hack, the more you leave complete steps out. There's always a price for that. And to quote Dan Sullivan, he has a quote that says, there'll either be short-term suffering or long-term suffering. You know, either way, there will be suffering. So you don't want to suffer by completely skipping those steps. But the framework at least tells you what those loose steps are. And within each step, you know, if I think of a framework like scaffolding versus like stairs. Like scaffolding has levels. It's not really filled in. You can do different things at different levels versus like maybe an elevator that just pops you onto different levels and you don't have any choices.
That's a great analogy, actually.
So having that just helps you design what works for you and your business. Because, you know, we talk about small businesses, and it's true, I think, no matter what the size, but you're always dealing with your own preferences, your own goals, what you want for the business. So something exact that works for somebody else is probably never going to work exactly for you. So mm-hmm. you need to sort of peel apart that framework and figure out, you know, what are the frameworks that you use?
Yeah, I think frameworks are good for small business owners because we as small business owners have egos, and we as small business owners at one point thought we could do it better than anyone else. I think I said that on every single podcast, and I'm going to break a record, but it's true. And I think it's something important to remember about our psyche and mentality when we make these decisions. But with frameworks, it's nice that no one's there telling you this is exactly how you have to do it, and you're going to get your wrist slapped if you don't do it. Yeah. With a framework, it's kind of like a gateway into these bigger, more intense processes. And I found that with using StoryBrand for myself, where you, for a year, were going on and on and on about it, and eventually I started listening to you, and I started sprinkling little bits of it in at first, and I recognized, like, oh, this is much better than what I am doing. And then I got a taste for it. I started to use it more. And I forget what website we wrote and designed first, where I hacked it together a little bit and then started to recognize how good that was. But then, okay, it can be better. And then now, like, I'm very rigid when we do the StoryBrand writing for copy on websites. And there's people that will do the writing with me and like talk about it. And they'll be like, well, like, do we need to follow it exactly? Can we do that? I'm like, no, we follow it exactly. There is a method to this madness. There's a reason that they do it. There's a reason why this company and frameworks made bajillion dollars a year. They know better than us. We need to follow that. But I like the frameworks as a way for small business owners to like just to dabble and start to see, like, is there a better way? And then they start to see it and better understand.
Yeah. And I think there's the dabbling, there's you know, ways you can adjust within it, but you're still kind of following, you know, a framework and a path. And that works. So we've talked about, you know, StoryBrand. It works in marketing. It also works in how you execute on that. So how you use it for, you know, if you're doing like SEO, if you're doing social media, mm-hmm. if you're doing email marketing, even just the cadence and pattern of what you're doing and why you're doing it can be, you can use a framework for that and adjust within it. And the framework is like, you know, the guide with a plan. So like when, you know, someone comes to work with Matty G to do SEO, you have your own system and strategy and way that you've tested over years and years of how you approach something. So that's a framework, right? It's not a, all right, Mr. Customer, let's completely guess how to maybe try and do SEO mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. And that's way more effective than that business owner being like, okay, I have to start from scratch and learn SEO from scratch, and I need to spend, you know, 80 hours on that and then 80 hours running my business this week. And it just becomes crazy when you try to invent everything. But, you know, to loop back, you talked about, I think, having control or like your wrist slapped, which is funny because a lot of business owners, they want to do it themselves or mm-hmm. try it themselves. And what they don't want is to have someone else be the boss of them,
right?
If they don't agree with it. So having the frameworks allows you to at least dabble mm-hmm. in some of it and maybe have that chance to recognize, oh, I need somebody else to help with this part here, but you understand how it fits in the mm-hmm. rest of the framework.
I think that was the scariest part when I started Matty G Digital was anytime you got a new client or a new account, I used to get so freaked out and anxious and scared because I didn't have those frameworks yet in place. Like I didn't have those processes on here's exactly how I do these things.
Yeah, here's how I onboard a customer. Yeah. And that's a good one because I think people in general, and I see this all the time and I see it in myself and recognize it, in hindsight in a lot of interactions is you will default to somewhere you've maybe been trained before, mm-hmm. and you assume that that's how it works at every business. Mm-hmm. But then when you're sitting on your own, it's like, oh, how do I onboard somebody as a customer? Like, what do I do now? And it's nice to have a framework maybe to follow as you build your own, you know, fill in the gaps with what you want it to be.
Yeah, I've never thought about it till right now, but for the first 2 years at least, anytime I got a new client, I was scared and I literally wouldn't know how we were going to get it done or how we were going to approach it, how it was going to be executed. And now, within the last 30 to 90 days, anytime I get a new account, it's just happiness. It's a completely different feeling where I'm just like, sweet, more money,
yeah,
to be honest. And it's like, okay, a new account that I can do great on. Like, I just started working with a company a couple weeks ago on SEO. And for maybe the first time in months or ever, I was just immediate happiness. Yeah. Not like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? It was, this is how we're going to roll out. This is how it's going to get done. I'm excited to execute the work. I'm excited to present it. And then I know I continue following my frameworks and my processes, and it's going to see success in 30 to 90 days. And everyone's happy. Yeah. So it's a nice change when you have those processes.
Yeah, it's really neat. I'm sort of thinking out loud, it's you start with the framework, and then you fill in some processes. Then you fill in some more processes. You know, eventually it becomes a system that just generates money for you. And I think starting with the frameworks is really important. You can read books and sort of get frameworks. People give them out for $20 all the time. You can hire a coach to get frameworks. You can hire a coach to help develop those frameworks for you. But at the end of the day, you need to be following those frameworks, mm-hmm. because people will just lose a bunch of time trying to like invent things or invent processes that have existed forever. But no one's done it yet for your business. So it's just mostly about sort of efficiency and figuring that stuff out for you faster. So you mm-hmm. get to that point, you know, you move from fear to happiness.
That's the key. And it's hard though, because on the other end of things with starting point, we started with processes. Like, that was the whole point of starting point, was how do I take the processes from Matty G Digital, remove myself from them, dilute them in a way that's just the most efficient way to handle them and slap actual time on it. And we rolled those out right away. And we, I think, had a new account with starting point at the beginning. Like, every 3 weeks there was a new account. Like, we started well. It was really good. But at the same time, those processes didn't work very well. It was
right?
I thought it was going to be like kind of like easy. It'd be a layup. We've got these processes that I had in my head from Matty G Digital, and how do we put them on paper? And it still didn't work perfectly. And it took about a year of like constantly finagling those projects and templates in Asana, the project management software we're using. Or anytime we'd have a new account, I would be changing stuff and moving stuff around. It took about a year to have those almost perfect. And they're still not perfect either. There's still stuff where I know we sell a certain account, and I'm going to have to change something. We have to do a process a little bit differently. So,
yeah, but at least you're adjusting within that framework. So you're not inventing every time. You know, you started with an idea of what you wanted. So it's a good example of putting that time into tweaking it. And as a business owner, you're working within the framework. Mm-hmm. You're not building it from scratch all the time,
right?
Which is cool. And I think that's one for, you know, your operations, how workflows. Some other frameworks that we can use could be things like, how do you manage your cash flow? So again, there's some different methodologies that people can teach you. Mm-hmm. Most people don't follow any of them like perfectly. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure it out for yourself. And mm-hmm. and as small business owners, everyone has different goals. Everyone has different money trauma. They have different levels of their understanding. So you have to find something that works for you in terms of that framework for like, how do I manage my cash in my business, right? How do I get cash?
Yeah.
How do I keep enough cash? How do I make purchasing decisions? How do I make investing decisions? How do I know when to borrow, when not to borrow? There's a lot of those decisions, and you can just get completely paralyzed doing it from scratch. But if you have at least kind of a framework to follow, it's going to make it easier for you.
For sure. Side note, Money Trauma is a fantastic either product, service, marketing tagline that we should think about.
Yeah.
it's a good line.
It's a really good one. There's some people in the Canadian personal finance community. I'm bringing this up now. Someone's doing a whole course on it right now.
Oh, okay.
And they're like professionals who, you know, weave in counseling and therapy into that, which is fascinating because most business owners have some kind of money trauma, not to spoil it. There's lots of people who maybe are workaholics or, you know, they grew up with nothing. Mm-hmm. So now they like want more and more and more money. So sometimes managing through that helps you figure it out. Or they try to apply their personal values to their business, which is a hard thing to really do as well. So again, that's a whole other sort of service, is figuring out the money side of your business and your own perceptions, how you manage your cash, how you look at your finance numbers, how you keep your records. You know, and there's obviously frameworks for that available. You can get bookkeepers, accountants to help at least with the data entry of that, but you have to probably the best way is to work with a coach to figure out how you open up your QuickBooks and then what, right? Yeah. What's the path of what you're looking at? What reports are you pulling? Mm-hmm. How often do you pull those reports? How do you make it simple so it fits in with everything else? So it's having the framework to look at, you know, cash flow.
I feel like I shouldn't say this because I don't know if I said on the podcast previously, but did we talk about Profit Doctor on the podcast, or was that a different conversation we had? Because do you have money trauma? Yeah. See the Profit Doctor.
Yeah, see the Profit Doctor. Yeah, it's interesting.
I think we Googled it and someone already had the domain.
Okay, yeah.
Because I was like, me and you, someone said it, and we looked at each other and we were like, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good name.
The Profit Doctor, it is like that, right? Like, yeah. You start with your pain and then how to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's, again, I think the answer is a framework. You know, just a couple other, you know, frameworks here. There could be, you know, communication frameworks. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need to send out an email. What do I say? You could have frameworks for negotiation as well. Different people have different styles of negotiation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're getting a new client, you have a framework for how you send a proposal, frameworks for how you deal with questions that come back from that. Again, you're figuring out some of the minor details along the way, but when you follow that framework, it just makes it easier than sort of panicking all the time because you're not quite sure what to do or what the next step is.
Yeah, we, with Starting Point, set up an infrastructure of emails when we started going, and that was a nightmare also, because I had, like, we spent a lot of time like meticulously writing certain emails. And then when we're actually using them, like, they never sounded like the person that was sending them. There was different nuances that didn't add up and about the relationship and the person. And we've gone back and had to not start from scratch, but heavily edited them. Yeah. However, we were in a much better position than like making the emails up on the spot. Yeah. So like, we had software, we were using the HubSpot free version of software to save all the email templates. So we had like a bank anytime we needed to go in and like, okay, what do we say in this situation?
Yeah.
Go find the email, pull it, and then we could edit it on the spot. But then we found that we're editing it way too much on the spot and had to reevaluate what we're actually doing. But it was at least like, we created a framework in a way that was not, I think, overwhelming for small business owners, because A, it was free, and B, it wasn't completely static. Like we could go in and anyone could edit them at any point, or like copy it, paste it, and then add their own points to it. So
yeah, I think what you're telling me is you have a really good framework for testing and editing things, which I think is really good because you don't get things perfect off the start.
Never.
And the fact that you start it, test and edit, change things, or realize, hey, we can edit it, but we're editing it too much. That's a whole other framework for identifying, okay, when do we need to scrap something, or when do we need to make those changes so that we're not editing it too much? Because there's, you know, so many things like that where you know when are the times you're going to talk to people and what are the things you need to let them know. So they can be templated and frameworked. Mm-hmm. But also if you want to have a better relationship, you're like, oh, okay, the tone needs to change a little bit, or something needs to change. So you can make that decision of how much change to make, versus if you didn't have a framework, you'd be like, oh, we're supposed to talk to people. Like, yeah. You get sort of surprised by it. And then you don't do it. And again, for starting point, it's, you know, always fun to use starting point as an example. It's meant to be, you know, it's lower price, lower cost. So you need more automation, process, system, so that you can keep that price accessible.
Yeah.
Right. And that's part of the mission of starting point, mm-hmm. is to get people started on their digital marketing, because most people who come to it, they haven't wrapped their heads around the investment really needed to maybe grow the way they want to grow. So you need to have those frameworks in place, and that's the core of that business. Whereas somebody else, the framework might be, hey, you're writing every email from scratch because we're a high-touch luxury service, but here's the 5 emails you're going to send to that client within the scope of whatever that time is. But it's still having a framework to follow.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We've talked a couple times about frameworks and how they, not that they don't always work right out of the gate, but they might not be perfect for you in that situation every time. And that's the cool thing about being able to go in and like make those changes, edit them. And I think that gets forgotten from a marketing perspective specifically. We've talked a little bit about that recently on the podcast, where people think that they're going to purchase something like marketing that's somewhat intangible, it's subjective and all these things, and we expect it to be a home run out of the gate, and it's not. It almost never is.
Yeah, well, marketing, it's like baseball. It is a lot about failure, and I think the people who really get it, I think, fail more, because when you look at you know, sometimes you'll look at something with a small business, and if you compare it to like industry stats, they're like way better. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a microcosm of their business and what they're doing. But if you look overall, people are always trying new things, and they expect, say, a 3% success rate. Mm-hmm. When you use that number, it's never 90%. Whereas I think small businesses, sometimes we want 90 to 100% sort of success, whereas some people are going to be ecstatic if they move from 3 to 4. Yeah. That's like a massive percentage increase. So they're always fighting, you know, for that. How do we get 3, 4? And then brilliant is like a 5%, say, success rate. But the point is the activity and the framework for how they do things. So I think every business needs to test and measure and adapt, and I think do those activities, which is hard to do when you're building a small business and don't have a lot of money to burn.
Yeah, maybe not to get too much into it, but to that point too, it is baseball with different things online. I don't know what people's expectation is of getting success or clicks or whatever, but a good success rate is 3 or 4%. No, it's not even like 30% or 40%. It's 3 or 4%. That's average, right? Some percentages are 1%. There's certain metrics on social media for certain clicks that if you get 1% of people click through, you're laughing. Like yeah. you should be happy. I, with my Google Ads, with my frameworks and the processes and methodologies that I have, I can get people success rate of like 6 to 8%, which is like double yeah. what the average is. And I'm always like ecstatic about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like super excited. And then the customer's like, wait a minute, this isn't making, you yeah. know, this isn't.
I'm like, these numbers are through the roof, but yeah. it's still not even 10%, which isn't even, which is still a low percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, partly it's figuring out what that failure is. And that's why, again, frameworks versus prescriptive mm-hmm. things. And, you know, when we talk about coaching and, you know, to bring this back to coaching, you know, a good coach isn't a cheerleader. And I think mm-hmm. for a long time, you and I've hated sort of business coaches or like life coaches, because some of them come across as like, oh, they're just going to cheerlead you yeah. along the way. And they're just going to, sort of send you motivational quotes, and that's sort of the extent of it. But great coaches bring frameworks for success.
Sure.
And then you work within that framework with your talent. Mm-hmm. And we see that with athletes, right? Like great coaches have plays to run, but like there's always a lot of decisions within those plays.
That's a wicked way to put it. Sorry to interrupt. That's a great way to put it, because that's not to pat myself on the back. That's how I see my own frameworks. Then.
Yeah.
I know I started saying that I don't have frameworks, but I'm thinking
I'm
thinking of different words though. Like I think of like a framework is a process.
Yeah.
And I do have processes and I have methodologies and reasons why I do stuff. So now I've had my come to Jesus moment through this podcast where I realize like, okay, I do have frameworks. And I do like that where it's I'm the coach. And I set up these processes and steps, but it's still up to the person executing the work to perform and do it the way that they're capable of doing it, which I like.
Yeah. And that, that dives into another Dan Sullivan topic of unique ability. And like the path in life is to figure out and go all in on your own unique ability. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those best players or most talented people are hunting for coaches that could give them a new framework that they can work within, right? If you look at Connor McDavid, guy's got a million coaches probably. Mm-hmm. Like there's team coaches, there's strength coaches. You're like, it's probably hunting for coaches doing things different. Like, hey, what's the new framework I can follow and then work within and practice my skills within that? They're not spending time figuring it out for themselves, right? He's probably not designing drills for himself to do, right? He's getting them from somebody to do and practice on. And then other people are creating their own as they go and maybe the area they're specialized in. But I think it's understanding that you need that framework, right? NHL games are not out there playing shinny, right? Every single player has a plan and a role, and they're going to make decisions on plays. They're going to debrief those decisions with someone to try to get better and better. And that works with, every business, every type of athletes as well, which is just really a good analogy to think about that. But
that's like after games, you hear coaches in any sport, even when they win, sometimes they're upset with how they played.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they may have won the game, but they didn't execute based on the framework or what the plan was.
Yeah.
So like could have easily gone the other way and they feel fortunate.
And it's funny because like to loop that back to business, sometimes that just happens.
Yeah.
And it's a really good salesperson is usually like a rebel, and companies get frustrated with them because they don't want to follow rules. So you have to try to get people to buy in and follow a framework, but they'll always be like, oh, so-and-so got this big deal, but they like completely butchered our process or they circumvented some things. So there's going to be people who are like just mad at them, but the result is good. So you kind of deal with it, accept it and move on. But then at the same time, if it's always happening, then eventually you're going to sort of hit failure.
Yeah.
It's sort of like sports and like they do all the wrong things. And then, you go on a big winning streak and then you just go on a crazy losing streak because you completely forgot how to play defense or something. Right. So, it's figuring out what those frameworks are for your business that's going to help you play better.
Where do you go to figure that out then? Where do you start?
You come to see a profit coach is one way to do it. There's, you know, frameworks that I follow. So, you know, we talked about story brand. Mm-hmm. It's also business made simple. So business made simple believes your business is like an airplane. Mm-hmm. So if we use the airplane analogy, your cockpit is the leadership. You got to have a framework to know where you're going to go, who's flying the plane. The right engine is your marketing. Left engine is your sales. Mm-hmm. Your wings are your products and services. Your cash is your fuel tank. And the body is your overhead. So you're trying to build an airplane that's to scale. So it's not an airplane with tiny little wings and a giant body of the airplane. So you use those frameworks to build your own business that's in scale. That's a plane that's designed to fly and stay flying versus one that's going to run out of cash and crash into the ocean. So I think that's a place where you can get some ready-made frameworks. Mm. Again, a lot of experts, you know, they sell their frameworks in books. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is most business owners like you aren't going to go read 30 books to find and pick one for them. So sometimes you need to find someone who's curated some of those so that you can get one or two for you to try and see how it goes.
I've never understood Profit Coach more than right now.
Oh, awesome. Neither have I. It's a work in progress, right? It's like adopting frameworks. And I think, you know, from my own understanding of what Profit Coach is I've spent, you know, more than 15 years now working with businesses, and I watch some succeed, some fail. A lot of people work hard and their business fails, or they're not, most aren't making the money I think they deserve to make for the work they put in. And it's trying to figure out, okay, how can I actually help? How can we actually solve that problem? And I think it's all about frameworks and finding frameworks, because people are working, they want to do it themselves. They don't want to hire people who they're accountable to or are going to slap the wrist for doing things. But you need to have a framework. You need to design your airplane to fly, right? We talk about marketing. Marketing's the right engine. If you don't have an engine on your plane, it's not going anywhere. Or you're pushing it down the tarmac. And that's how sometimes you got to maybe do the run start as a solopreneur, where you're like pushing your plane to get going and then jumping in as it's about to take off. But you need those frameworks, and it's finding the simple ones and how to adapt them to your business so that you can spend your time focusing on your business so that you can win and make money.
That's awesome. That's cool. Like, I've talked to you for over a year about Profit Coach. I've done your marketing. I've read about it a lot. And now I'm like, that makes more sense than ever. That's a really cool way to frame it.
Now we got to burn all the marketing down to the ground and start from scratch. So, all right. With that, if you would like to talk about frameworks for your business, how you can use them to start, grow, or recharge, send us an email at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.